Once again, good morning, church. I am so thankful that you're here. I'm thankful. Roger and Bev are dear friends of mine. Roger was my pastor for 14 years. From the time when I told God, no, this ministry thing is not for me. I don't want to do it. And was actively and energetically and belligerently at times running away from my call. Roger was there, and he was a rock in my life, and I'm so thankful that he's here, and Bev as well, and what a blessing to have you two here today, and how's retirement going? Yes. Thank you so much for being here, and let's go to the Word in Scripture this morning. I invite you to stand with me in body or in spirit as we hear the Ten Commandments, the sixth commandment today. And this is found in Exodus chapter 20. The Ten Commandments are also found in Deuteronomy. But together, let's say the words that are found on the screen, and then we'll hear from Jesus as well, what he has to say about this commandment. Will you join me? You shall not commit adultery. Another easy one for you, right? Yes. Listen to the word of Jesus Christ on this commandment. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right eye causes you to stumble, right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Not such an easy commandment anymore, is it? Jesus is the Word of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated, friends. Join me in prayer. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit that we can understand these words, that you will reveal to us by your Holy Spirit what you have to say. Lord, allow me to disappear. Allow me to decrease. Allow your Spirit to increase so that every word, every thought, every action that this church takes is pleasing and glorifying to your name. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know about you, but when I was a child, I didn't think much about this commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. I used to think, does it mean they don't want me to become an adult? Adultery. It's funny, isn't it, how words have strange meanings. Think of the word adult movie. Think of the word gentleman's club. Boy, what a strange use of the word gentleman, isn't that? Because the kind of activities that would take place in these places that we call adult or that we call gentleman really don't reflect what it means to be a gentleman very well, do they? The activities that take place there, the sin, can I use that word? The sin that takes place in a place such as that makes us look at a place like that and say, oh, look at that place. Look how evil and sinful the people who are in there are. But not me, because I don't go to places like that. I don't watch movies like that. I don't do those things that I look at and think, oh my goodness, what sinners they are. And a commandment like thou shalt not commit adultery, when you remain faithful in a marriage relationship, can seem like one of those commandments that is for somebody else. But as we're learning, as we're exploring these Ten Commandments, that what we look at outside and think, oh, look at the sin, Jesus turns that right around and says, you're looking at it wrong, because this commandment is not about so much being faithful in a committed relationship, just like thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain is not entirely about using good language. It's about the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. And when we remain faithful and steadfast in that relationship, we're really fulfilling the commandment. But what really happens is that God fulfills this commandment. Because even our best attempts at faithfulness, even our best attempts at living a life of a good, strong marriage, pales in significance to the type of relationship that Jesus Christ is inviting us into. And the expression of that relationship is often referred to in Scripture like a marriage. And too often than not, we humans are the person in the relationship who often wanders away. But Jesus is the faithful one who invites reconciliation so that even when that marriage relationship falls short, Jesus is the one reaching and pulling that spouse back into faithful relationship. It's always Jesus who's doing that. There's a faithful one. We, no matter how hard we try, will fall short. Always. We will always fall short. But Jesus never will. And Jesus is always inviting us back into the relationship. He's got a hold of us. Just like this. And no matter where we try to turn to get away, Jesus is always after us, pulling us back into that righteous relationship. It's easy to look at a commandment and think, that's not for me. And Jesus says, even if you've thought the thoughts, you're expressing already unfaithfulness. I don't know about you, but I'm sorry, dear, I've committed adultery. I said that on a Sunday from the front of a church. I'm being recorded. This is going to go out on the internet. But my goodness, who hasn't? Who hasn't looked at somebody and said, wow, look at them? And then right away, oh, you know what? Jesus calls me to a better existence than that. To not be controlled by my emotions, to not be controlled by the physical body that I live in, with a brain that's wired to look at others and go, ooh, you know? Jesus calls me to something better than that. Jesus calls me to lay aside myself, to take up the cross with him and follow him. It's tough. It is tough. And so often we see relationships that look from the outside so solid that can, in the blink of an eye, evaporate because it's so hard. It's so difficult to make these relationships work. It's so difficult to, as the saying goes, to keep it together. And sometimes we pretend we go through the motions, don't we? Keep it together for the kids. Keep it together, you know, we've been together so long already, why not finish out the course? It's so hard. It's so difficult to do. We need more than ever the Holy Spirit working in our marriages, working in our relationships. Because just as last week, we talked about murder as taking a life that belongs to God. When we murder, we take a life that belongs to God. And Jesus says, don't even think angry thoughts toward another person. Because the thoughts in here are often expressed in our actions out here. And when we hate in our minds, we are killing our brother and sister. That life belongs to Jesus. And Jesus, this commandment, just as much, is about Jesus. Jesus loves us so much. God is so invested in our lives that even our most intimate and personal and private relationships are in Jesus' hands. They belong to him. And when we display faithfulness, what we are doing is we are displaying first to God, but to the world around us, something about Jesus. That even in this crazy world of ours where there is so much temptation and so much, it seems, evil and wickedness and temptation to divide, Jesus is calling us to be steadfast and here's the good news, friends. When we can't do that, when we can't be faithful, when we fall away in our relationships, in our marriages, in our daily walk with Christ, when we walk away, Jesus is not willing to let us go. And Jesus is the one who goes after us and brings us back. It's so easy, though. It's so easy to fall away. Marriage is hard work. I tell folks who come to me all the time if they want to get married, first of all, what in the world are you thinking? But also, I want you to understand how hard this is going to be. This is not going to be a walk in the park. And even if your relationship is going well, then a kid will come along and they'll make sure that that relationship gets tested. Something will always come around to test that relationship. But when we make it through the test, the relationship somehow, I don't know how God does it, but it's even stronger after the trial. The relationship, when we fall short and walk away from God, so often when God pulls us back, the faith can be even stronger because it's God at work, pulling us back, calling us to obedience, calling us to faithfulness, calling us to righteousness, to display for the world something that is so hard that now more than 50% of us can't do it. It's tough work. But remind ourselves of who that relationship belongs to in the first place. That relationship belongs to God. That marriage belongs to God. God is at work when we say, I do. God is at work when we pledge to each other faithful obedience to this thing called love. And when love fails, then we stick together because God is calling us to something greater than we can do. Greater than we can do on ourselves. We can't hold it together. We need God to hold us together. Not only as couples, but as people, individuals. I can't tell you how often I fall short. I commit adultery against God, the relationship that I have with Him. I fall short constantly, continuously with my mind or with my mouth or with the actions of my body. I fall short of that relationship. I'm disobedient. But the good news is, who comes after me? Jesus comes after me and grabs me out of where I am and pulls me back. Anybody here ever experienced that? Or you have felt so far away from where Jesus is. And then He grabs you and He pulls you back. He says, I love you. I've always loved you and I'm not letting you go. Did it make a difference in your life? Did it change you a little bit or a lot? Boy, it sure did for me. It sure does continually for me. I need that. I need that every single day. I need that grace in my life every single day. Pulling me back. Keeping me from walking away. It's available. It's Jesus who does the work of pulling us into faithfulness. It's all about Him. Your marriage, whether it's 5 years, 50 years, a million years, sometimes it seems like a million years. Not us. Some days with the boys. No. It's always Jesus reminding us that that marriage, that relationship, is a display. It's a picture on the screen that shows the world not something about us, but something about our God. And friends, when we fall short of that to the point where the marriage is broken irrevocably and there is separation, know that God loves you no less. Know that God is not looking for that moment of painful human separation between two people as a moment to punish you, as a moment to fill you with guilt. That's not at all how our God operates. In those broken moments, God is so near, so close, so that even when these human relationships that we're in reach the point where they're broken and cannot be fixed, and separation is almost necessary to take place, know that God loves you so much that even if a relationship of humanness is broken, that his love is all the more poured into your life. So much, so full, that you can find healing even in the midst of painful separation. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. Sometimes the issues are so great that there's no other recourse but to peacefully, or sometimes not so peacefully, go our separate ways. When that happens, friends, please hear my voice. Hear what I'm saying. God still loves you so much that you can still find healing even in the midst of painful and brokenness and separation. That's the kind of God we serve. He loves to keep us together, but our God knows that sometimes it just doesn't work out. But how faithful is God that never takes place in a relationship with God, that the brokenness that we experience of separation as humans never takes place with God. That even if we completely walk away and we say, I am now an atheist, I no longer want anything to do with God, I'm never going to church again, I am walking out of here, it's too painful, I don't want to go back, that God will still pursue and still reach out to you and still be working to draw you back into relationship. That's the kind of God we serve. He loves us so much. You shall not commit adultery. God loves you, and so do I. Amen.